Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Faster, my good evening. It's 5:30 and this is update for Monday the 20th of May 2024 from Manx Radio. Lewis Foster here bringing you a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to that news, Manx sport, business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, government unlikely to meet population targets. There's a week to go, so how are TT preparations? Treasury's reaction to lower inflation rates, a bid to merge two Ramsay wards, and did TT organisers have a permit for those fireworks?
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
Now with the time at 29 minutes before 6 with the update news headlines, Fastamai, Beth Espy.
A Peel and Glenfaber MHK says she has concerns about mixed comments from Peel commissioners on the draft area plan for the north and west. Kate Law Brennan has sent a letter to the local authority suggesting recent comments were misleading because their position on the matter has changed. New figures released today show government is unlikely to meet its target of increasing the island's population to 100,000 by 2037. The Objective Assessment of Housing Need report suggests nearly 10,000 people will move here by 2041, taking the population to nearly 94,000. There's a public meeting at the Manx Legion Club tonight focused on how the Manx Development Corporation is meeting government's remit to develop brownfield sites on the island. MDC Managing Director Dane Harrop's due to be there. It's been organised by the Liberal Vannon Party and starts at 7:30. A week before this year's festival gets underway, the clerk of the TT course says organisers are always mindful of the costs of putting on the Isle of Man TT races. In 2024, Gary Thompson enters his 12th year in the post. Further afield, and a long-awaited public inquiry has found the infected blood scandal was covered up by doctors and successive UK governments and should have been avoided. More than 30,000 people received contaminated blood and associated products from the 1970s to the early 90s, destroying lives, dreams and families. The deputy manager of a nursery in Stockport has been found guilty of manslaughter after a nine-month-old baby was strapped tightly to a beanbag. The trial heard she put the little girl in mortal danger as a punishment. And Arne Slot has been confirmed as Liverpool's new head coach on a reported three-year contract. The Dutchman replaces Jurgen Klopp. Those are your headlines, news in full in 30 minutes.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gromayed, thank you, Beth. Dry this evening and tonight with clear spells in mainly light east or northeast winds and 10 degrees Celsius. Another dry and bright day tomorrow with sunny spells, light winds and top temperature of 18 degrees. Cloudy with the risk of showers overnight into Wednesday. Sunset tonight is at 9:25. Sunrise tomorrow at 5:04. Meanwhile, cloudy and mostly dry on Wednesday, but with some bright spells at times, winds freshening from the northwest, and highest temperature 16 degrees.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be an approved contractor with Construction Isle of Man. Call the team on 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
New stats show government is unlikely to meet its target of increasing the island's population to 100,000 by 2037. The figures are included in the Objective Assessment of Housing Need report, which has just been published. Amy Griffiths has more.
It was a key goal for the Chief Minister when he released his economic strategy at the start of his administration. The long-awaited OHAN report provides critical analysis of future housing requirements and will be used as an evidence base for the island's strategic plan. Its baseline projection suggests around 9,600 more people will come here by 2041, taking the total population to nearly 94,000. However, it says a number of variants would help government come closer to their target, although there'd have to be improvements in retaining those who do move here and improving the housing offering. Meanwhile, it's also assessed the type of housing the island is likely to need in the future. It says the proportion of private renters here has increased from 15 to 20% in the past two decades, with a reduction in people living in the homes they own by 4%. The most common type of property on the Isle of Man is the detached dwelling. However, the largest growth is in purpose-built flats, which is said to likely be down to the increased demand for rented accommodation. According to the 2021 census, 13.3% of all properties on the Isle of Man were vacant. While the report does say there are several reasons for this, including second or holiday homes, it does note it's comparatively high compared to the England average of 6%. The average house price is said to have remained steady at around £250,000 from 2010 to 2019, but then steadily climbed to £350,000 in December 2022, the most recent figure available. You can find the report in full at manxradio.com.
With 7 days to go until TT 2024, one person with major responsibilities to get the event ready is Clerk of the Course Gary Thompson. He's spoken to Manx Radio about how preparations are going for the racing fortnight and navigating the financial climate to get these things in place.
The preparations have gone really well this year. I'm pleased to say we have been for some while now at the stage of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Preparations have gone really well in all areas. The course itself, the TT course itself, is probably looking the best I've seen it in years, really. There was various resurfacing and patching across several locations on the course, but the major areas this year are Braddon Bridge, the inside of Sarah's Cottage, the inside of Sulby Bridge, Kerrimore 2, which is obviously on just past Ginger Hall, and Glen Tramman. But no, it's all looking really good. Obviously, we are very conscious of rising costs, and accordingly, we tailor our budget as much as we can. Obviously, we don't go over the top, or we try not to go over the top, but equally, we need to make sure that we've got enough budget in place to cater for the safety, to make sure that the TT course is as safe as possible. And other areas, like we've now got, for this year, we've increased the number of digital flags around the course. That's been a major, major success over the last 2 years. From a budget point of view across the board, we are mindful of increasing costs, and although obviously we have to put the event on, we try to cut the cloth accordingly.
What were the main bits of feedback you got from last year that you're maybe taking into this year?
There wasn't really last year, to be honest. The year before, obviously, the highlight of the year before was Sulby Bridge, which we put in place for 2023, and that went down really well. But no, this year, there wasn't a great deal of feedback from the course, from the competitors last year. We do listen to the competitors. I mean, obviously, last year, with the weather, it was a long event. You know, everybody got lots of laps, which obviously we're mindful of. But also, the new schedule, as with previous schedules, there are still lots of contingency options that we've got in case of any possible delays.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's hoped lower inflation rates won't impact the island's aims for economic growth. Treasury Minister Alex Awanson has been reacting to the 3-year low for the Consumer Prices Index and what this could mean for business and consumer confidence going forward.
They can do if they're not planned properly. I mean, we are very much at the whim of international markets in terms of other aspects of our economy, such as interest rates. I mean, one of the questions I've been asked is, when is the cost of living crisis over? We know that inflation has come down a lot. Prices are still higher than they were 1 or 2 years ago, but we're seeing some of those feed-in prices reducing. I think when we start seeing interest rates coming down, which have also gone up significantly from 2020, then we'll increase that both consumer confidence and business confidence. Because I think you're right, in terms of delivering a healthy economy, you have to have that confidence in planning for the future. And when prices are constantly going up and people are struggling with mortgage payments, that's difficult to plan for.
Well, actually, let's come to that confidence aspect. The Isle of Man's inflationary figure is never sitting still. It is quite sporadic.
We are a relatively small economy, and we have lots of indicators which are slightly outside of our control in terms of imported goods, in terms of a relatively small labour market and relatively small hospitality sector, for instance. However, what we can do is estimate the actual inflation rate that we have. We tend to track very much according to the island across. So when they go up, we tend to go up a little bit quicker because of the increased cost of getting things over here. When they go down, we tend to lag a little bit behind. But what we are seeing by some of the figures here is some of the interventions we've made, both in terms of energy prices, so for instance with gas prices coming down, with electricity prices coming down, but also in terms of some of the other effects we've seen in terms of air travel as well, that we are having that ability to control inflation on the island and hopefully get some of that consumer confidence back.
Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Allenson speaking with Christian Jones there. 20 to 6 now, TT organisers did not have a permit to set off fireworks in the Douglas Bay Marine Nature Reserve for the last three editions of the races, despite it being a legal requirement since 2018. The Department for Enterprise has confirmed in response to a Freedom of Information request that such a permit has been obtained for this year's display, as Sean Cowper reports.
Douglas Bay was designated as a marine nature reserve in September 2018, meaning anyone wishing to deposit any substance or article in the reserve needs a permit from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. Despite this, the DfE says it did not apply for a permit for the 2019, 2022 and 2023 displays due to an administrative error. However, it insists it did comply with the recommendations contained within its 2024 permit. The permit states the DfE must exercise utmost care to avoid undue disturbance to habitats, fireworks must be discharged from offshore, and the site must be returned to its pre-activity state. The department also revealed it makes no effort to remove spent firework residue from the nature reserve, as the fireworks it uses do not contain plastic parts, and that residue which falls from the air will biodegrade naturally. It goes on to confirm it is committed to only using plastic-free fireworks in its displays, with this year's fireworks made up of materials consisting of paper, cardboard, cotton and clay. This year's TT fireworks display is due to take place in Douglas Bay at 11 p.m. on Friday the 8th of June. Manx Radio has invited the department to comment further.
Quite a lot of traffic on the Steam Packets website today due to sailing tickets going on sale for TT 2025. I can tell you, though, the Manxmen arriving into Douglas Bay as we speak. Now, a Ramsey commissioner wants to merge the local authorities' north and south wards into one. Finlow Williams believes it would make local elections more equal. He says the population of Ramsey is unevenly divided, with the northern ward having a bigger population.
Obviously, the layout of Ramsey to the south, we're fully developed. We've got the glens and everything, and the mountain is in the way now. So all the development is now happening in the north of the town. So it's becoming quite heavily weighted towards the north having the bigger population than the south. It's almost 1,000 people divide there. And the only place to develop now is continuing in the north, so that divide's just going to get bigger and bigger. I've tried in the past, and it has failed. The arguments have always been on the financial side of things. Obviously, we have a duty to the ratepayers, and elections are quite costly. And I looked at the figures, I thought I'd have one last-ditch attempt at it. Whereas we've previously taken the figures from a by-election from half the town and just doubled it and gone, wow, that's expensive. You get more economies of scale when you take it into the whole of Ramsey. So whereas we've been previously thinking it's double the cost, it's not quite. The last election was £5,800. If it was for the whole of Ramsey, I've done some figures. Previously, we were thinking it'd be double it, about £12,000. In reality, we can do it all under the same venue. We don't need as much staff as we thought, and it's round about £9,800. And obviously, that then takes away the argument that we're looking after the ratepayers' money. To me, it was always a bit of a hollow argument anyway, because you're looking after ratepayers' money, but you're supposed to be looking after and representing the entirety of the town. And there's no point having half the town able to vote for someone who's then going to represent the whole town.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
In business news on the Isle of Man today, the Villa Gaiety complex made an operating loss of just over £1.5 million in 2023. During the year, the facility had a total income of £2.3 million, down £300,000 compared to the year before, while staffing and infrastructure costs increased. In 2022, the site reported a loss of just over £700,000, but was also awarded a contingency fund of almost £600,000 for the Royal Hall, without which the deficit would have been more than £1.3 million. Income from events held at the complex was down almost £500,000, while bars and hospitality saw their income grow by more than £100,000.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
All eyes will be on Nvidia earnings this week. The £2.3 trillion company is the third largest S&P 500 stock by market cap, which means that the chipmaker is big enough that a significant reaction could be a market-moving event. At the close, the FTSE 100 up 0.07% at 8,426. The DAX up 0.34% at 18,767. The Dow Jones up 0.1% at 40,044. The S&P 500 up 0.33% at 5,320. And the NASDAQ up 0.55% at 16,778. British pound sterling trading at $1.27 and €1.169. Gold up 0.44% and Brent up 0.17%.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsay Crook all later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsay Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Southern 100 Racing has paid tribute to the club's first vice president, Don Fairbairn, who's died at the age of 94. Don was involved with the racing on the Balaun course for 41 years. Beth Aspie reports.
In a statement, the club says Don joined the committee in 1984, taking on the role of catering officer, a position he held up to and including 1995, when he became deputy clerk of works during 1996 and 1997, when he moved up to clerk of works for 11 years between 1998 and 2008. They say Don was involved for many years as a paddock controller during the practices and races. He continued with this until the completion of the 2022 races. He was presented with a long service certificate in recognition of his contribution to the races by club president Phil Taubman, MBE. The club goes on to say that his enthusiasm from the beginning was evident and remained so for over the 40-plus years Don was involved, being no small part in helping make the races what they are today. Thank you, Don, they say. You will be sorely missed, but long remembered by all who follow in your footsteps. And the Southern 100 Racing conveys their sincere condolences to Don's wife, Barbara, family and friends.
Manx Radio Sport.
Sport now. Here is John Moss.
Yes, thank you. Cycling and Max Walker is big in Japan. He followed up his first stage individual time trial win in the Tour of Japan with second place on stage two. He has the green jersey. Max's Astana development team lead the team classification. Astana, the team that Cav races for, of course. This is Max in poor and wet conditions taking that time trial win.
3分18秒 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 96なんですがこのタイムで現在暫定10位です。
Well, it says it all, really. Closer to home, and Corin Leeming took the win in the weekend's Cold Dark North proper northern road race. After a group break on the last of the 10k laps, Corin and a second rider broke for the finish, with Corin taking it. Dean Pinnington will be back in FCIOM's Strip next season. He moved to Bury in March, but he's moving back to Manx Shores. And FCIOM will once again be in NWCFL next season. It follows the annual reshuffle to the league. The third round of the Tower Insurance Down the Line League at Merivale Santon took place at the weekend in near ideal conditions. 19 competitors. Results in Class A: first Peter Kelly, second Liam Kirkpatrick, and third Rob Corlett. In B Class, John Moore from Jack Clegg and George Davis, and the C Class was won by Rob Marshall. Northern Ireland were crowned champions at this year's Europe Netball Open event held at the Hennessy in Douglas over the weekend. It was a closely contested 60-58 win over the United Arab Emirates. They handed the Northern Irish side the First Division title, while in third place playoff, the Republic of Ireland beat the Isle of Man 51-41. In Division 2, Gibraltar took the honours. They defeated France 46-30, while Malta secured a narrow 43-41 win over Switzerland.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, over at the airport, all relatively smooth operations today. I can tell you the 5:30 Loganair flight to London City is on time, and the EasyJet flight at 20:06 is getting away on time as well. The next is the Loganair flight to Liverpool at 6 o'clock. On the roads in Douglas until November, of course, a section of Switzerland Road closed for construction work. In Braddon until the 30th of June, temporary lights on Vicarage Road at the Stevenson's Way roundabout, 24 hours a day for water main replacement there. In Farm Hill, temporary lights on Balafton Manor Hill near the Coolfarain Junction, 24 hours a day for resurfacing, that's until Friday. In Laxey, also until Friday, temporary lights on New Road for building alteration. In Sandygate until Wednesday, temporary lights on Sandygate Road, 24 hours a day for work on the pavements. In Lazare, the Gary Road is closed for ditching work until Friday, and at Starvey until the 4th of July, closures in phases on the Starvey Road for water main work. In Castletown until Thursday, temporary lights on Arbury Road near Castle Russian School. That's 9:30 a.m. till 3:30 each day for trench work. And in Colby until June, closures in phases on the Ballykilferrick Road for water main work.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
It's just gone 10:50, and the island's political member responsible for motorsport hopes fans and residents can see the wider vision around recent changes to the Isle of Man TT races, which at times have sparked debate and, in some cases, criticism. Sarah Maltby also maintains the financial benefits of the event remain beyond doubt, despite rising costs to run the racing fortnight.
There has been a lot of challenges over the years and lots of changes. I think people maybe find that difficult sometimes. They would like to keep it how it was before. But essentially, the road race is how it's always been. It's the bits behind the scenes, the strategic vision, I think, which sometimes feels a little bit alien to people. I think this kind of goes back to when the consultations over the schedule were discussed, and I think people were involved in that, and it felt very much like at the time it was being done to people. I think now, a couple of years on, hopefully we'll start to see the benefit of how the schedule's been changed to try and encourage more visitors to be on the island. We're trying to increase the amount of people that we can have over a longer period of time. So I can see how that will then help, hopefully, the cafes, the restaurants, the people who are trying to grow, who use TT, to be able to support them throughout the rest of the year.
Just how financially viable is the TT in this day and age?
Great question. As you can appreciate, it does cost a lot of money to put the event on. The amount of money that is generated in revenue as income is then reinvested into the event. So safety improvements, how can we ensure that the race is secure for the future, the sustainability of the event. So it's very important that we work together to be able to get this event on. It's not something that we take lightly. You know, there's a serious amount of work that goes in by the race organisers, by the officials that I mentioned before. As the DfE is the race promoter, we have our obligation, we are tasked to bring the people to the island, and then we hope that then generates the income that we need to be able to sustain the event. But the economic benefit to the island for having the TT race can't be underestimated. In 2023, £36 million was generated from 43,000 visitors. We want to grow those visitors by 6,000 this year. That's a task for the DfE, for the visit agency, to be able to bring those people to the island.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Praying the Keels Week began at the weekend, which will see people visit the early religious buildings dotted around the Isle of Man. But what is a keel, and where has this tradition come from? Here are event organisers Andrew Foxen, but first, Phil Crane.
We're not a formal charity. We've no legal status. We're just a few keen volunteers from different churches who recognise the value in exploring the countryside, the physical and the spiritual side to that.
In other parts of the Celtic West, you find place names beginning K-I-L, kill, and it's the same word. It comes from a Latin word originally meaning a monk cell, and then you get places like Kilkenny or Kilmarnock, and here we use keel. They're small places scattered through the Manx landscape in a way that we don't really see in any other part of the Celtic West. Perhaps as many as 160, 170 of them, and they were small chapels in the landscape, usually about 5 metres long, about 3 metres wide. Although people have tried to give it a single purpose to them, they certainly are religious places, they're aligned, they sometimes have burial sites around, they will have an altar, they'll have a doorway, there's usually a window, certainly on the south side and occasionally above the altar on the east end. And sometimes there are other things, crosses or white quartz pebbles are built in or left with them.
Andrew Foxen and Phil Crane there. Now, pupils from Russian Primary School have been marking the 200th anniversary of the RNLI through artwork. An exhibition including a 3D model of Port Erin Bay is currently on display at the Erin Arts Centre, as the site's artistic director, Pip Rolfe, explains.
The pupils and staff of Russian Primary School have put together a fantastic, colourful and joyous celebration of the RNLI. There are drawings, writing, little models and a fantastic 3D model of, well, Port Erin Bay, basically, with surfers and swimmers and people fishing, and it's just a glorious piece of work. And I've sort of thanked them in writing, but I'd just like everyone to hear on the radio. I mean, it's when everyone, when staff and pupils and, you know, the community sort of pulls together, it's great to see what can be achieved. And it's a real testament to the pupils and the efforts of the staff who've pulled it all together. It's a really fine piece of work.
So did you approach them or did they approach you?
They were putting it in the school, and I think obviously they wanted to get it out of the school and get it seen by the wider public. So they approached us, and we had a little window just before the Mananin exhibition comes in. So we just jumped at the chance, really. Some of the classes had already contributed to the open exhibition, Otherworld, that we did around the time of Halloween. So we knew that the work was going to be great because all the Halloween stuff was great and great fun. And it's such a great show. Like I say, a real testament to them and their efforts. So well done.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of the Manx Radio Newsroom. Thank you to newsreader Beth Espy and producer Amy Griffiths. Coming up after the news, it's Agenda with Phil Gorn, looking at the island's status as a biosphere. As always, if you have a story that you think you'd like us to cover, you can email newsroom@manxradio.com. I've been Lewis Foster, in for Andy Wint today. Thank you for listening. And as always, if you want to listen again, this programme will be available as a podcast at manxradio.com.